like his wife or his child, then obviously it's going to go back to him, and therefore the issue will be exactly the same whether you speak about the person himself to the person or you speak about the person to someone who's close to him.
Started at the Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, 20th of Tammuz, 27th of July, Rabbi Amram Nemeth Shlita, Chemes Midyon. This week's Torah is sponsored by the family Anishmas, Rossi Morris Martel, Basra Meir of Mort, Olea Shalom, this is Magna Joseph, this is the first Yad Sign towards yesterday.
Brashas Kala Kala Chashev. As I said, we moved on to, last time I spoke here, to Parsha Shiyoim. But there is a mixture today of Parsha and Halacha, because there's Drusha, many Halachas in the Parsha can be found as well. It's where I find myself, because I now have to learn much of the Parsha in detail to enable me to speak on Shabbos in the JLE. So therefore, consequently, I suppose much of my head is devoted to Parsha as well. Today's, it's the days of rising living costs. We've got to look for other jobs and other ways to make it work as well. Petrol, fuel prices. And I saw Yanky Hyman has a column in the Jewish Tribune. I don't know if anyone else reads it, but he wrote a funny joke. He said that someone came, the boss saw someone looking very distressed. So he said to the person who was working with him, his employee, "Why are you looking so upset?" So he said, "My fuel prices have gone up. I can't even use my car anymore. I have to take the bus." The next day he sees him very upset as well, and he says to him, "Why are you looking so distressed? And, well, the energy prices have gone up, the food prices have gone up, I can't afford anything." And the next day he sees him still looking so distressed, the fuel, the energy, the food, the travel, "I can't even travel now, and now the prices of the planes have also gone up." So the boss says to him, "Don't worry, your salary is staying the same, and that's not going anywhere." But I want to start with, I want to talk about, if we have time, I think we may do 2 points or 3 points. The 2 points we're going to do are to start off with, understand the juxtaposition of Moshe, the death of Moshe, with the Melchemes Midyan, and consequently afterwards talk about the Tfilas Kelim of the utensils that they obtained after they captured Midyan. And thirdly, a thought, if we have time, to leave off from the Rosh Hashiva, from Avram Gorovitz, about the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven and settling on the other side of the Yarden and not really in Eretz Yisrael, and about a chinuch thought from the idea that he puts down about the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. So to start off with, there's a pasuk in Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk base, when Hashem instructs Moshe, "Nekoyim nikmas B'nai Yisrael," take revenge for the Jewish people. Because what's happened over the past few parashiyot from Balak and Balak is that Midyan and Moav, and especially Midyan, had set forth their daughters, and they enticed the B'nai Yisrael, and they caused the B'nai Yisrael not only to commit the Issa of Arayas, but also Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar, and they ruined Klal Yisrael, the Midyan. They ruined to a large extent much of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. They made them move off with the Zoyners, and they also made them serve Avodah Zarah. And that brought plague, that brought death, and there was tragedy, not only from that Averis, but also from the death that came afterwards. So Klal Yisrael were in a very bad state because of the Midyanim. Not only because of the standard that they lowered, but also because they brought the Magefa, Hashem punished them. So it wasn't in such a good place. So Hashem says to Moshe, "Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael," take revenge. Well, only Hashem could take revenge, because it's for the right reasons, it's for justice, we can't just take revenge. "Me'eis ha-Midyanim," from the Midyanim. "Achar te'aseif el amecha," and afterwards that will be it for you. After the battle you're going to go, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to die. So "Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael, me'eis ha-Midyanim, achar te'aseif el amecha," afterwards you'll be gathered unto your people, which means that's it for you. If you look at Rashi later on, in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Hey, it says, "Vayimasru me'alfei Yisrael, elef lamate, shnei masa elef chalutzei tzava," and they were handed over the armies. So the army was chosen, but uses a verb of "Vayimasru me'alfei Yisrael," that they were in almost like they were forced to be handed over, and they didn't want to go and fight in the battle. "Vayimasru me'alfei Yisrael," says Rashi, "to tell you the praise of the shepherds and the leaders of the Jewish people." Kama heim chavivim al Yisrael, how precious they are unto Jewish people. Actually, shomu b'misosoi mahu oimer, until they didn't hear that he had died, what did they say? Oid ma'atus koloni, they're still going to kill me. When they knew that it was dependent on winning the war, that Moshe would die only after they would win the battle. They didn't want to go until they were forced to go because they didn't want to leave Moshe. So Rashi tells us that when they found out that the two were connected, that Moshe is going to die only after the Melchemes Midian, obviously they pushed off the Melchama of the Midian. And like there was a man in Eretz Yisrael with me, a Choshev Yungoman, who was losing his eyesight. Very sadly, I don't remember his name, about 12, 15 years ago. For me, it was the first story of Dom Nechav, of course, when I came to Eretz Yisrael. Sitting on Sorotskin, he would always wait on the bus across the road from me, in I lived in Ponim Eiras, and he would wait across the road to go to the mayor or whatever. And I knew him from Shachar, so he never, ever, ever waved. And I used to think to myself, what a rude person. Because literally, for weeks or months till I found out this was happening, I used to wave to him. He never, ever, ever looked back. I thought that he must have some sort of problem. And I found out, never, he was losing his eyesight. And he went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I think. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky told him that he would only lose his eyesight after he's finished Shas. And he'll first be able to finish Shas. So everyone made a joke to him that he should make sure to do very, very B'ian, right? So make sure he spend a lot of time on Daf Base, so that Emet Hashem his whole life will be able to see. I don't know the end of the story. I've never kept in touch with him. But they knew that Midian, after the Melchemes of Midian, Moshe would die and he would leave them. So therefore they held back. And therefore it says, Vayu Masru. But Rashi doesn't actually say, notes the Ksav Sofer, why specifically now they changed their attitude towards Moshe. It says, Oid ma'atus skoluni. Until now they thought, Moshe thought they were going to stone him. And the Ksav Sofer quotes the Ramban earlier in Parashat Shemois, that even after all the Nisim and all the miracles that Hashem had done for Klal Yisrael, they accused Moshe of doing those miracles himself. Don't forget, it's an age of magic, there's the age of Avodah Zarah, and it's not so far off to presume that people could do these miracles themselves. And what was their reason? Why did they think that Moshe Rabbeinu would do these miracles himself? Because he wanted to gain control over a bunch of people, take control over them, and take them into the desert. It was all completely for his own benefit. And that's what they accused Moshe of right the way through the desert. They always said, he said, Oid ma'atus koloni, because it was a result of the way he thought they were thinking about him. Even though they saw the miracle, they saw the Anan, they saw the Mon, they thought everything somehow, he was like Avodah Zarah, he was somehow pulling certain powers and putting them into physical beings. They thought he was doing the same thing. Maybe there was a God, but this was for Moshe Rabbeinu, and there wasn't really Hashem behind him. They still thought that after 40 years, and therefore they didn't respect Moshe as much. Suddenly, when it comes to Melchemes Midian, when they know now he's going to die, then they said, oh my gosh, Lodi Shavachan Sharoi Yisrael, now we love him. But what happened? What was the change? It doesn't really say. If you hate him so much, and you think he's doing it for his own benefit, why suddenly now? Because you know he's going to die. So you could say, because it's like when everyone, never for someone passes away. That's when you forgive the person. When you've loved someone, or even when you say bye to someone for a few months, even though you say bye to a child for a few months, or to a parent, even if you've been arguing until now, you feel slightly bad, you get more emotional towards it, and you're willing to forgive everything else, and you say probably this happened for the right reasons. But the Ksav Sofer says it's much deeper, and it's a Mefurash Rashi earlier on. Just after Klal Yisrael, just after Moshe was instructed by Hashem to destroy the Midian, it says, Vayidaber Moshe. And it's Apol Pisha Shoma Shemisase Tluya Badaba, Asa Basimcha Beloy Icher. Even though he did it, he knew that he was going to die, he did it Basimcha. How do we see from this pasuk that Moshe led the war against the Midian of Basimcha? So the Maral says the expression of Vayadabe can also mean Basimcha rather than Vayoyme. It says Vayadabe Moshe El Am Leimar, and Moshe spoke to the people saying, let's gather people for an army. But you are Midian, let's say it's Nikmas Hashem to have revenge against the Midian. He did it b'simcha. So when they saw that, and they realized he's doing it b'simcha, even though he has no gain or benefit from it, then they realized that over the past 40 years, he was probably the person that was doing everything for us, and there was a Hashem and nothing was for himself. So the reason why they learned only over here the true nature of Moshe's leadership was because here they saw that there was nothing in it for Moshe. There was only everything in it for themselves. The Midianite girls had ruined the Jewish people. There was a Megepha, there was Avera, everything was negative and bad. Moshe was leaving them now. The revenge was completely for Klal Yisrael. So when he did it, the simcha, when he did it with happiness, with the expression of Vayadav and Moshe, then they realized after that, that for the past 40 years, retrospectively, he's been doing it all for our benefit, and it wasn't for himself. And that's why specifically now, when in the time of Melchemes Midian, when they knew Va'acha Te'osev Alamecha, the Moshe was going to die, and he still did it for simcha, obviously he's doing it for us and not for himself, because there's nothing in it for him. Therefore, we know that he's doing it properly. But says the Ksav Sofer, when it says, Kama Lodir Shvachon Sharoi Yisrael, that's the best way to be a manager of Klal Yisrael and to be a Rav, or to be someone who leads some other people. You could do many miracles for people. You can give people many things. You could teach Torah to people. You could be a very clever, you could be an orator, you could be everything. What people want to see is that there's nothing in it here for yourself, there's only something in it here for us. Without that, you can be Moshe Rabbeinu, you can receive the Torah. You can bring the best miracle the world's ever had, the Man, the Ananim, the Kriyas Yamsuf. It doesn't matter. People won't necessarily like you until they see there's nothing here in it for yourself, there's only here in it for us. So that took them 40 years, and that's why, in my opinion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that specifically now it says Acha Te'osef Alamecha, not with any of the other events that would happen towards the end of Moshe's death, was so that they would leave off from Moshe Rabbeinu before he died with an understanding that everything was in it for them. But it's telling also that until then, people won't necessarily trust you. As long as you've got some benefit when you're leading other people, whether it's your own children, whether you're leading other people, whether you're a boss, people won't necessarily trust you if they see their self-interest, however much you give them. It's only when you do something completely for the other person that people will have faith in you, and then they'll love you and be devastated when you leave. Because it was this act of Melchemes Midian that they were about to, He thought they were about to kill him. But as soon as they saw he's not in it for them, they all calmed down, and then they loved. And then they loved him. Says the Ksav Sofer, that's Kama Shvachon Sharoi Yisrael. The praise or the benefit of the leaders of the Jewish people are the ones who completely do it for other people and not for themselves, and you have to show that. Moshe for 40 years was doing it for other people. We know the story, because we're reading the Torah. Not everyone but Klal Yisrael knew the story properly. They had doubts. We see Moshe by the bush saying, I don't want to do it, I don't want to take them out, it's not for me. There was nothing in it for himself. He was Anam Mikol Adam. But you still have to show people that, which is also interesting. It's not necessary that if you're with someone who's completely in it for you, people would feel that and express that. He had to do an action that completely showed that I'm not in it for myself, I'm completely in it for you. I think that's also telling of the relationships that we have with other people. You may be completely, when you do something for your children or for anyone else who you're interacting with, it may be completely for them and there's nothing in it for you, but if you don't show and you don't express and you don't show clearly this is completely for the other person, then the relationship may still be fragile. Yeah, that's number one.
It's so by the angle that when Moshe davened for them, that he davened altruistically because he could have become the new leader of a new nation, and yet he still davened for Klal Yisrael against his own better interest. So they saw, but at that point, that he supplicated to the Eibishter in order to save Klal Yisrael, even though he would have benefited if Klal Yisrael had perished.
Yeah. Maybe it's a new generation, maybe? Maybe it's a new diary that could be.
4 years later.
Also, maybe they weren't.
I didn't think of that. But it could be, it was the children, maybe.
So they knew all this from before. The children had this habit done. What happened? The eagle was something which was a.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they didn't know that conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbi Nishvah. That happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim, that he was negotiating with the Rabbi Nishvah. So they may not have known it.
Right.
They may not have known his offer.
Number two.
Yeah, I'll just repeat what we said at the front. It could be that the people didn't know what had happened between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, which reflects what we were saying before. There has to be something public in order to endear the people onto their leader or onto the manik of Klal Yisrael. Moving on to number two. Number two is slightly more halachic. After they came back, they brought back the Noshim, which Moshe criticized them for, because that was the reason for the plague in the first place, but they also brought back all the kelim and all the utensils. And Elazar instructs them, because Moshe is angry, and therefore he maybe forgets a bit of the halachas about what to do. In Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis, Ach es ha-zahav, es ha-kesev, es ha-nefeshes, es ha-barzel, es ha-bedil, es ha-oifares. Kol doba she-yov ha-beish, tabiru be-eish, v'toher, ach b'mei nido yischata. V'chol she-lo yov ha-beish, tabiru v'moy. There's two relevant halachas that we have for us nowadays from the parsha of Klei Midyan. They can't, they brought back all the utensils, and they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, they have the rules of kashrus already, so what do we do with them now? So can we just use them? Or any halachas or any processes that we have to go through before we use them. So there's two. Number one, we learn from Eha Galas Kalim. They had to put it through fire or through boiling hot water. That's the halachas of Agala. Chalash Yava Tavira Ve'esh. Put it through something hot to purge it of all the impure substances that were inside that are non-kasha. And second of all, though it's unclear exactly from which words of the pasuk this is learned from, I'll read out Rashi's. V'chalash Yava Ve'esh. Tabiru v'amayim. Anything that was used for just cold food and was never used for anything hot. Tabiru v'amayim. Matbilon v'dayim. They put it into the mikvah. If you put it into the mikvah, then you've taken it out from a utensil of a non-Jew and you've brought it into Kedushas Yisrael. So those are the two halachas that are relevant still to us today. One is Hagala and two is Tefillah. Tefillah's Kalim. We put it into the mikvah of 40 sah. And then we've metahir the utensil that we've had, just like they did for the clay midyan. The question someone asked me recently was, if you're a Baal Teshuva and your parents are not frum, so obviously the biggest problem is normally the kashrus, right? So you can't eat from pots that are used for treif for kasha. That's a simple one. So people bring their own pots, etc., or they do hagala to them in order to make it work. But what about Tevilas Kalim? And it's relevant also, it's relevant to me when you go to people's houses and maybe people will offer you a l'chaim. So if you have a l'chaim on something cold, some whiskey is generally kasha. There's a question of sherry casks of whiskey or generally of a safe bet if you go to someone's house who doesn't keep the rules of kashrus. But the glass or the cup they've given to you hasn't been toivled.
It's not yours.
Okay.
It's in a pub. It's not yours.
Okay, but pub could be a schaira. Okay, so this fair enough. Just it could be we'll come on to a different route, which is slightly easier than that, as to why it could be mutter or it could be offset. It's definitely not mutter lechatchela. So let's see. So the question is, if you're using your knives and forks and plates of someone's parents, or you're eating in someone's house, they've said, we've got specially for you the kosher food, and they've got for you a kosher pot, and they've bought the special things, but they serve you on utensils that are also brand new, but they haven't been titled. So what would you do at that point? Are you allowed to use them, or are you not allowed to use them?
Probably not.
So, okay. In Hilchas Tzitzis, no, don't forget, we're discussing utensils that haven't been used. There's no problem with Hagolas Kalim. Obviously, if it's not kosher, it's not kosher. But we're talking about things that haven't been, they're brand new. And let's say someone's parents have bought them for them. And you want to eat your meal now. And obviously you're right about embarrassing them, but that wouldn't help you if they've cooked in a pot that's non-kasher. If someone's cooked in a pot that's not kasher, then obviously embarrassment doesn't really make a difference. You can't eat it ever. It's maybe even midaraisa in many instances. What about Tevilas Kalim? There's halacha in Hilchas Tzitzis, in Arachayim Yud Gimel, halacha Gimel. Im noida lo b'Shabbos shu b'Karmelis, if he knows on Shabbos that he's in a place where carrying is the Rabbanon, sha'talis sha'alov pasol, that his talis is pasol, lo yasirenu me'alov ad she'yagiyo l'beisa. He doesn't have to take it off until he gets home. To gavol kavod habriyas, because great is the respect for other people. So kavod habriyas is a concept often used for a suri the Rabbanon. Over here, if he takes off his talis in the street, even if he has other clothes on, it's still slightly embarrassing just to pull off your clothes, and especially if you have no other clothes, and the dalet comforts are full of tzitzis, you have to take that off, it's embarrassing. So because there's a concept of kavod habriyas, that would push away the mitzvah derabbanan of wearing tzitzis. Because kavod habriyas would never help you with the mitzvah d'oraisa. If you have shatnas on you, then normally you have to take the shatnas off, the Gemara and Brachas tells us, even in the middle of the street, because kavod habriyas is disrespectful for you. What can you do? Not with the mitzvah d'oraisa. When it comes to a mitzvah derabbanan, then there's a concept of kavod habrias. So since wearing tzitzis is derabbanan, and kavod habrias is derabbanan, kavod habrias will push away tzitzis. And therefore you won't have to take off your tzitzis because it's disrespectful to yourself. But mitzvah tzitzis is midaraisa, you'll tell me. We say in Shema every day the mitzvah tzitzis is midaraisa. So why does the Mechaber say, ask the Magen Avraham, that tzitzis is midarabbanan? We know kavod habrias, that means self-respect, can only help you if what's causing the lack of self-respect is a mitzvah or an issa derabbana. As soon as the mitzvah or issa is a mitzvah or an issa da'iraisa, the halachas of self-respect are by and large irrelevant because you have to keep the Torah halacha. So come, you're wearing your tzitzis in the street, it's Shabbos, so you don't want to take them off because that's a lack of kavod habrias, so you keep them on. But you're allowed to, because it's derabbanan to wear tzitzis, and kavod habrias is derabbanan. But wearing tzitzis is midaraisa. Says the Magen Avraham, it's not true. And I'll just introduce that with many halachas. There's a halacha to put a mezuzah onto your door. Is it asa to live in a house without a mezuzah? That's not a halacha min ha-Torah. You may be doing a bitl laseh. But it's not asa to walk in. A kohen can't go into a house where there's a dead body. That's asa. You can't meet treif. There's a halacha, you've got to put a mezuzah on your door. There's no issa in the Torah to live in a house without a mezuzah. Similarly, there's a halacha to put a marker, we're going to see in Sefer Devarim, onto your roof because it's dangerous. There's no issa to walk onto a roof that doesn't have a marker on. You may be doing a bitl laseh, but it's not asa to go up. Yeah, but it wouldn't be forbidden for me to go out to your roof if you don't have a marker on, would it? There are many, in most instances, it's mutter. I'm allowed to, it's even easier if you want to use that example, it's even easier for me to go, if you don't have a mezuzah on your house, there's definitely no issa for me to go in and even to sleep there. Tzitzis, similarly, there's a mitzvah for me to put tzitzis on my dalet kamphas. If I can't put on these tzitzis because it's Shabbos and I can't sew them on and I can't fix them, there's maybe an issa derabbanan usually not to wear dalet kamphas without tzitzis, but then I'm allowed to carry on wearing them. There's no issa da'iraisa that I'm dealing with over here. There's a mitzvah da'iraisa that tells me I have to wear tzitzis. There's probably an issa derabbanan, says the Magen Avraham, that every dalet kamphas you should put on, there's an issa not to have them without tzitzis. It's obviously not recommended practice. But if, however, my tzitzis have broken, there's no issa in the Torah or a law that tells me you've got to take these off. And consequently, the area and the ballpark that you're dealing with are only mitzvahs derabbanan. If a mezuzah falls off on your house on Shabbos, and you can't put it on because the way you're going to attach it is with nails, and you've got nowhere else to live, the Pesachei Tshuva tells us that it's mutter to stay in. Obviously, it's not ideal. If you have another house, you should move to another room or another house. But if you can't, you're not going against the pasuk, you're going against a din terabbanan. You shouldn't really be in a house without a mezuzah. So when you can't sort that out because it's Shabbos, or you've got nowhere else to live, it's still mutter to be in that place. So when you're walking on Shabbos, and your tzitzis are broken, you can't fix your tzitzis. So even though there's maybe an issa terabbanan to be without tzitzis, it's irrelevant now because it's Shabbos. So all you have, the mitzvah d'oraisa, there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to take off your tzitzis if your dalet kamphas are broken. So you have an issa d'rabbanan. In this instance, kavod habrias will push away your issa d'rabbanan.
Why isn't it a d'oraisa if you're wearing a full korban beged without tzitzis?
Because you're doing maybe a bitl laseh. Maybe you're not doing something that you should be doing.
No, but this is an issa to wear
four korban beged. And it would be consequently an issa d'rabbanan according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Mordechai. Because in order to be deraisa, it has to be allowed. You're not allowed to wear dalet kamphas without tzitzis. Instead, what it says is you should put on as a positive mitzvah. Now, on Shabbos, normally in the weekday, if you have it on without tzitzis, you have a bitl laseh. You're not doing something you should be doing every second. But that still wouldn't mandate that it's asa to wear it. There wouldn't be an issa to wear it. There'd be two separate things going on. I'm very bad that I'm not doing my aseh, but it doesn't equal into an issa of don't eat treif, don't break Shabbos, and all the other issurim that are in the Torah. There's an assay that you can't do. There's normally an issa derabbanan as well. It's ideal to wear tzitzis. Here, the issa derabbanan is irrelevant. Why? Because there's kavod habrias. You can't just go in the street and take off your clothes. So we'll push away this issa of not wearing something without tzitzis. That's right. Kavod HaBrius would only supersede an Issa Rabbana, not Mitzvah D'Oraisa. It's a very interesting concept, and I sympathize with it because it took me a long time, but I learned this a bit of time ago to get my head around it. There are many mitzvahs that you have to do, but not doing it doesn't equal a transgressing a Torah rule. The ones he brings, the one they bring in Hilchos Mezuzah and in Hilchos Tzitzis, and we're going to see how it's relevant to us as well, are Tzitzis, Mezuzah, Markov. There's a mitzvah to do them. Not doing them doesn't automatically equal transgressing the Torah halacha. There's Drabonon, there's Bittul Asays, but those can be sorted out when you have a concept like that, like Kavod HaBrius. I want to make sure we finish with in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, there's halacha, the Bi halacha says very similar. That we would say Tefilas Kelim is midaraisa according to many poskim. Even so, not doing tefillah, says the Bi'ah Halacha, is not, you're not going to be transgressing an Issa Torah. You'll be transgressing an Issa Derabbanan, and you won't be transgressing an Issa Torah. Why? Because the Torah has told you you have to do tefillah. The Torah didn't say, make sure that you don't use kelim that weren't toivot. So that's one point. I've got to remember to do tefillah. Once I haven't done tefillah, what am I doing? I'm not doing an assay potentially, or I'm going, the Rabbanan said you can't use Kelim without being toivel. There's an Issa Rabbanan, but not an Issa Torah. And consequently, what would you say when you're using someone else's utensils which haven't been toivel? So we've discussed mitzvahs like mezuzah and markah, where there's a mitzvah to do, but there's no negative Torah commandment not to do them. So tefilas Kelim, there's a mitzvah like we saw with Klei Bidya when they came back, to toivel all the utensils that you have. If you don't toivel them, there's no Issa D'Oraisa. There's an Issa D'Rabbana. I saw in this Sefer, Shalas V'Tshuvah, it's a very new Sefer, Levali Tshuvah, and he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and I also saw it brought down in Mincha Shlomo, but I don't remember the source of where it is, that he says that the Issa D'Rabbana is only relevant to the person who owns the utensils. It's not akin to Blia sitting inside the utensil, which are Asa, and the tenth and the utensil is completely Asa. It's an Issa given to the person. It's an Issa given to the person who owns them, almost similar to a Knas. The Rabbanan Chazal didn't want you to be sitting at home with utensils that aren't toivel, so he said, you who owns them, similar to what you were saying before, your answer is more similar to what Rav Moshe Sternbach says. We're not going to have time for that now, but this is Rav Shlomo Zalman's answer. The Knas that we have is for the person who owns them. Issa D'Oraisa we've long moved on from. There's no Issa D'Oraisa to use a utensil that's not toivel. There's no Issa D'Oraisa to live in a house without a mezuzah. There's no Issa D'Oraisa to have dalet kamfas without tzitzit. You move into Bittul Asays and Issa D'Rabbanan. The Issa D'Rabbanan of tefillah is only relevant, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, to the person who owns them themselves. And therefore he says, b'diyemet b'shas adchak, because it seems like he's going against other paskim. He says, ideally you should try and use plastic, or use others. But if it's going to be a case of Kavod HaBrius like we saw in Hilchos Tzitzis, it's maximum an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Issa D'Rabbanan also is probably only relevant to the person that owns them. It's a knas for him. We don't want you to use your utensils to ensure that you will use your utensils. If you're eating in someone's house or if you're a child, it's not really your responsibility. And therefore the knas never applied to you. And especially because here you've got Kavod HaBrius because your cause right, which is potentially unnecessary. There's nothing you're arguing about at that point. If you just become from yourself, I would guess, with kashrus, shabbos, and all the other life choices that you're making. So specifically, someone who's just become from, then you can use that. But presumably, if you're really stuck and you're going to embarrass someone, then and you've already moved past the halachas of kashrus, you've ensured the person's where you're going has done haggadah to everything, then if you're really going to upset them, you could rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman and use the utensils b'dievet. But I remember we were in Norwich for, I did once a barbecue Sunday afternoon in Norwich Shul, and we brought all the meat, and they were excited, they made everything 100% kosher for us, and they brought us a brand new barbecue. Now you have to toivel the grates of the barbecue. So I said, well, we have to toivel them. So we could have given it to a guy, etc. There are ways to get around tefillas kelim. You can give it to someone else and you don't own it. So people who were with me said, oh, you don't want, no, I'm going against what I just said, but it was relevant over here, not always. You don't want to embarrass them. They've especially bought this for you. They've made everything work for you. Why would you make a fight? I don't know, but something pushed me to say, no, let's go. Let's just tell them. So we told them. Most people weren't from at all. this has to be Toivol. And they said, oh, thank you so much for teaching that to us. So we went down to the sea or whatever it was, the water nearby, and we told them. We came back. It took an hour, but they were very excited to see Yiddishkeit practiced properly. I guess that's slightly different. But when there's personal family relations, things are slightly more sensitive. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman would say you can rely on Padiyah. But I just want to go over what we've learned. We've learned that Hashem specifically juxtaposed the Misa of Moshe to Midyan. So the Jewish people would leave, Klal Yisrael would leave in their head, the Moshe was doing everything altruistically and not for his own benefit, and that would endear them to him. And in order to endear people you're working with, or your family, or people you're leading, onto yourself, there'll always be self-interest in most things that you're doing. Because you always want to, if you speak, you want to be known as a good speaker. If you're a Rav, you want to get paid. If you're a parent with your children, you want your children to have good shidduchim because they look good for you. And people will always have that in the back of their mind. And the way you counter that is by doing one thing at least, where the person you're dealing with can see it's completely for them and there's nothing in it for you. And they left off with Moshe Rabbeinu in their head as a leader, retrospectively, who's done everything the past 40 years for himself. Look at Vayadaber, look at the fact that he was besimcha and there was nothing in it for him. On the contrary, the quicker the war would be over, the sooner he would die. That was the Ksav, I think, my embellishment of the Ksav Sofer at least, and his embellishment of Rashi in the Melchemes Midyan. The second point we learn is that we see there's Agolas Kalim and Tefilas Kalim. We came back with all the utensils. Moshe gave them two halachas. We've discussed Hagala here about 3 years ago with a series of about four or five with induction stoves. I don't know if anyone remembers them. But second of all, we discussed today Tefilas Kalim. Now Tefilas Kalim, halacha specifically we discussed, was if you're eating in someone's house, specifically to a Baal Tshuva who goes to the house and the parents haven't toiled the utensils, is a mutter still to eat from them? Lechatchila, most poskim seem to say that the issa durabana of using utensils which are not toiled is relevant to everyone. Lechatchila, it seems to be, from my understanding, you should try not to. However, because you may understand the issa durabana of being limited specifically to the person who owns them, it's not an issa deraisa because there's no loisa saying not to use them, it's only in an assay. Therefore, we would say that the diabet is still going to be mutter.
I
would say that's also called Badiyah. You've just become probably not the it's not as much Badiyah, maybe it's slightly, but you're in a Badiyah situation. I understand what you're saying. Badiyah, what can you do? You really drive your parents mad about everything?
No, but this is the difference between you end up squeezing sits again. Well, not should you do. You have to please up and have to
But you're right.
If you ask for since they have a choice,
you're right, it's different, but it will still be mutter. Alright. It doesn't take away the hassle, but it's still the
Sky. What was your third point?
May God the B'nai Ruach.
They built. They wanted to redo the city specifically for their children,
yes.
And not for anyone, because they were built for Avodah Zarah. So Ravon points out in a few places, even though it's mutter to have a city that was built for Avodah Zarah, the children would feel that much more. They wanted to smash it down just for them. That was the vart.
Let's smash it down.
Just for them. An adult doesn't feel it as much. Shkoyach.